Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. We have a phenomenal week of content planned for all of you listeners, as we will be live all week long from the Arizona Tennis Classic, the ATP Challenger 175K event, now in its fourth iteration of the tournament. Of course, it's our second consecutive year getting to serve as on-site media for the event. And in that capacity, of course, we have the tremendous opportunity to speak with so many different players in the main draw. A reminder to all of you listeners, Christian Garin has to play qualifying at this year's Arizona Tennis Classic. Why is that relevant? Well, it's because he's currently ranked number 87 in the world. That's right. Even with all the withdrawals, that's still the ranking cutoff just to get into this challenger event. So it is a loaded draw, of course, from top to bottom. And look, I will do my best alongside our CR intern, Owen Alderman, to try and grab every player in the main draw. We will try to offer as much coverage of this event as we can, make the most of our opportunity to be surrounded by so many different top 100 players. Again, each of those conversations we do manage to secure, you'll be able to hear them here on the Cracked Interviews podcast feed. And look, the topics are going to be pretty consistent. I'm going to ask what brings each player to Phoenix, going to ask each player for their aspirations in 2024. And then, of course, we'll tailor the rest of the interviews to whomever we are speaking to. The point more broadly is it's going to be a fantastic week of content, and I guarantee you won't want to miss out on any of it. So without further ado, let's get to it. Here is another interview from the Arizona Tennis Classic. Welcome in, everyone. We are live at the Arizona Tennis Classic, where joining us now in our Cracked Rackets booth is the defending champion of this event. Of course, now we know him as the world number 60, but back in the day, we knew him as a multiple-time All-American and, of course, NCAA singles finalist while at Mississippi State. It's Nuno Borges joining us once again. Nuno, first of all, congratulations to you, my friend, on the past 15 months. Let's just start there. When I say Nuno Borges, world number 60, what does that mean to you?
You make it sound very dramatic. Just the whole introduction.
Yeah, of course.
No, I love it. Honestly, it's crazy. It's something I never expected.
Is there that big of a difference, I guess, in your tennis now to where it was 15 months ago? Like, I'm curious what, because we always saw the talent, of
where
course.
Where was I 15 months ago?
Like 120-ish, 130-ish? Like, I'm curious, I mean, if there's a big difference in your tennis.
No, I feel like I'm not just tennis, but physically as well. Feel a lot stronger in general. I've been putting a lot of work, yeah. So I'm expecting to feel a little better. Sometimes on court you don't really feel the difference, but looking back 15 months, I can tell for sure that I think I'm a more complete tennis player now than I was.
Well, you say I'm being dramatic, but if I was getting dramatic, I'd have brought up what your fitness looked like, you know, 10 years ago. And I'm just curious because I know for you that's been such a big piece of this pro story. And for listeners who are curious, just what does that look like behind the scenes? How, when you say that's been a focus for you, does that mean, you know, for every hour on court, it's an hour in the gym? Like, what does that look like
really
for you to
depends.
Get to where you are?
It really depends. Obviously, not every day is the same. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I've been able to put a little more gym or just work outside of the court, even during the tournaments. Mm-hmm. And that's been, you know, being able to increase my load obviously helps me, you know, be able to train a little more, be more ready for, you know, the bigger tournaments. Obviously, sure. Playing best of five is not the same. And even just being able to withstand, you know, higher level matches, and not just play one and be tired, like being able to feel okay after a couple tough ones. I'm still not where I want to be, obviously, but I feel like I'm progressing. It's hard to tell the hours, but I'm promising it happens.
No, I mean, certainly we're seeing that in your results. Obviously, you made your first tour level quarterfinal recently, and then the thing everyone's going to want me to ask you about, talk to me about the Medvedev match. What was that? Was it? Is it more difficult physically or mentally to get through a grind like that?
I think Daniil makes you feel everything. really tricky player. I watched him so much on TV, but really when you feel it in your own skin, it is different. And I remember thinking, I can't believe I'm playing on Rod Laver. Like, when I used to watch TV and guys play there all the time. And Daniil, as an example, I probably saw him multiple times playing in that stadium. And actually feeling what it like, or seeing what it feels like to be able to serve and him returning like 7 meters behind the base.
Crazy.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But he makes it work somehow. He's a special player for sure. And it was great to have that experience playing on one of the biggest stadiums in the world.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a girlfriend guy, but the longest committed relationship I've had is with your kick serve. And so the reason I bring that up is talking about that return positioning.
Yes.
Is there moments where you're like, well, maybe I won't hit the kick serve because that's not working, or that slice wide? Like, even in a matchup against Dimitrov the round before, when you're winning, these guys are now 6, 12 feet behind the baseline on a court where, you know, again, you mentioned Rod Laver. Like, you can only return like that really on Rod Laver.
Yeah.
You can't do that a bunch
There's
of places.
There's not so much space on the other one.
Exactly. So are you adjusting as much to the environment as you are the opponent? And what is that experience like for you walking out on a court like that?
I try to ignore a little bit of that because when you go so far back, it can mess up your, you know, reference of where the service line is for sure. And honestly, it made me feel a little worse about my seconds. Like, I got so much time and so much space.
Yeah.
At the same time, the square looks like it's a little shorter. The service box is so tiny. And he's like back there. So it made me feel a little more insecure there for sure. But I thought I played a good match and still. It's really hard to get free points off the serve with him. He always makes you play one more and one more. I guess that's what makes him so special.
Yeah. I'm curious, you know, again, obviously the Medvedev match was a massive moment for you in your career, but that Dimitrov match the round before, to get over the finish line in a moment like that, you know, what was working so well on that day? What does that do for your confidence, big picture, to earn a win like that?
No, I was feeling like cloud nine.
I imagine. Is he that handsome in person, by the way, as well?
He's very good looking.
Yeah, okay, I just had to clarify.
It's true. Yeah. I can tell why the girls go a little crazy. And he's got class. He's a very respectful guy, too. And I think that's a big thing as well. Even after the match, he was really nice. Just congratulating and really... It really was special to, you know, just being able to share a court with him was already crazy, and feeling like I got a respect to it. It's a great feeling for sure. And like I said, I played like it was my best match ever for sure. And be able to do it in best of five really showed how consistent I was able to be at my best level. Yeah. It's one of the matches I always look back and try to replicate, and feel whatever I was feeling back then, try to, at least.
No, I mean, in that spirit, I'm curious, because you get a win like that. Again, you play Medvedev really close. After that, you're into the quarterfinals for the first time at a tour-level event. How much of your recent success would you attribute to just the boost in confidence, or that, you know, that momentum maybe you are feeling now in your career? Where I'm curious if it's at a point where, similar to when you were in college, you know, there was a 3-year stretch there where you lost, what, like 4 total matches? And I'm curious if you found that sort of zone mentally yet in the pros.
No, honestly, even against the Dimitrov match, that was never a moment he could let me feel that confident.
Sure.
I think these guys really make you feel like crap all the time. It's always
that sounds great.
It's always a big battle. You gotta be careful with how you treat yourself, because it can be a really internal battle all the time, because you're trying to always outperform yourself more than sometimes playing the other guy, and you forget what's really ahead of you. That's been something I'm trying to manage as well, because the higher the level, the more you demand of yourself.
Sure.
And it's not like you can just do this every time, and you're expecting yourself to sometimes, and it's a little unfair.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And You know, again, I brought this up earlier, the defending champion at this event, but now you're 60 in the world. And so I'm just curious, from a scheduling standpoint, how different life has become these last 6 months. And, you know, again, this year, this time last year, it was about getting into the top 100 and consolidating that spot. Yeah. I'm curious what the focuses are for you now.
Well, I remember that this tournament was key for me to be able to play almost a full ATP schedule.
Yeah.
And that's helped me until now, for sure. Mm. It's one of my biggest boosts in the ranking. The schedule, maybe it's all ATPs mostly, and that's where I want to be. It's where I want to play. It's where it's most challenging and most motivating. Mm-hmm. So it really opened my eyes to what it feels like to play the full ATP schedule, and honestly, just big motivation for sure for the rest of the year, and to keep going, keep experiencing these big things, the biggest events with the crowds, and it's where we want to be. It's more than I ever imagined to be. I never expected to be here while at Mississippi State, for example.
Sure.
And that wasn't, I mean, it's already a while ago. It still feels like yesterday.
I know. Is your 5-year anniversary this year, right? 2019, 5 years ago this May?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm going to cry. I don't like the sound of that. And it's funny you bring that up, because I did an interview with Patrick Kipson about a month ago, another guy who's on the rise of late. And I asked him the question of, you know, seeing all the college guys translate to the pros, does it surprise you? And the answer I got from him was one of my favorite, because he goes, Alex, I used to have to make a road trip to Alabama and play Mazen Osama. And he was like, that match was always miserable. And I want listeners who don't see
it. He told me about that.
Yeah,
story. Hated to play.
You have the exact same face where it's like, I guess, you know, to see Pat on the rise, to see Eubanks is a top 100 player now. That's a guy from your era. Mackey's a little bit older than you, but still, all of these guys now have consolidated top 100 positions. Kova's another one. Does it surprise you, or did you kind of feel that same way that was coming when you were in college?
I honestly didn't know what it was to be top 100. You
okay.
know? So it's hard for me to say it surprises me, but seeing a bunch of those guys here, I don't see why not. There's could be more. Like, the level was high. I guess it takes time to go through the tour, but like, some of those guys really, really showed some promise. So I always give the benefit of the doubt. Like, I've seen some players that I thought, maybe, I don't think he's going to be top 100, but then some guys do make it, and they find ways, they develop, and I'm sure they worked really hard to be where they are. So I'm not so surprised, no. But
who was your Mazen? Was it Timo Stoddard? I feel like it had to be
Timo.
No,
I never lost to Timo.
I know, and you actually might have liked that
match. Always a grinder.
That's
what
I'm saying. I feel like you hated that match. You're like, oh no. Like, it's Timo time.
I think
OC Oliver.
Mucha was.
Oh, there it is. That's
a
good one.
I didn't like to play. He's like, because I felt like he always had an extra motivation to play me when I was like top 10.
Yeah.
And he would lose some other guys, and it was hard for me to accept that against me he was going to be on top of his game and really motivated, and maybe I would have lost, and I probably lost a couple times to him.
Yeah.
That was always a tricky one, because he wouldn't let me do my game very
well. Yeah, exactly. No, and he had some weapons, certainly.
I'm sure there's others.
No, to me, no. There's really not that many others. Okay. Let the record show. I'll say it so you don't have to. There's really not. Maybe Paul Jubb is only after the fact. It's like, but beforehand.
It was
like,
it was only my last year.
Yeah, exactly.
When you got like guys who I've went through like
exactly.
3 to 4 years.
We're really, it's a stroll down memory lane. It's great to see you, my friend. Well, last few questions, obviously, because I know you want to go rest up before main draw play gets underway. I'm curious right now, again, very tennis specific. Mm-hmm. What's your focus as you look to continue to ascend the rankings, as you look to continue to improve your game? What are the things you are focusing now on after, you know, again, a full year of ATP Tour play? What do you realize, hey, this is the gap I need to fix?
It's really tough to give you very specific. I feel like every tournament there's something comes up. Like either something that is not as sharp as I'd like it to be, or just the conditions change and I need to develop something more. I guess when the clay comes, I really like to try to improve my return far back. I feel like it's not something I do very well. It's a lot more natural for me to step in and return.
Sure.
And the conditions when they're a little slower, I tend to maybe hit the ball a little too early. I get a little anxious sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's something I need to maybe look into. think just serving first ball is something that you can always work on. When I'm playing my best, I feel like that's something that's always on key, and and that really helps me give like easy points, and for sure gives a lot more pressure to the opponent, gives me more freedom to even just breathe and play just two shots instead of having to rally a lot. And the return. The return is something very sensitive.
Yeah, sure.
Even when I like to step in, sometimes how in, how even when the position, sometimes more towards the right, if the court is, I don't know, slower or faster, or the guy likes the wide serve. There's so many variants and factors to take into, but I've been working a lot on my back and used to be really, really flat. I try to give it a little spin sometimes now.
Okay. Not too much, I hope. No, like, it's still true to
that. I still think movement is what I need to work on most. Mm-hmm. I think I've been trying to build up a little more muscle, especially on the legs, and that's been my key. I had like a little trouble with my knees. I could feel a little sore. So I've been feeling a lot better lately with that. So maybe in a few months I'll start working on more agility and getting faster, just because, I mean, if you can get to every ball, I'm sure it's a big time advantage.
And that's what they call the Medvedev difference, as you know. I'm curious, my last two questions for you, because obviously I'm a longtime fan, and I like to think at this point, friend, whatever it may be. And so I continue to follow your game. But look, Portugal is not the biggest country. And thus, when someone like you has the degree of success you have had in professional athletics, it gathers attention. And I'm just curious what that has been like for you, the attention you've received from so many in Portugal who, you know, I'm pretty sure, what, did you make the doubles final in Estoril?
And we won it.
Yeah, you won. Oh, sorry.
No, just kidding. No, it was.
And you led the paper, right? And it was just, that's what, the truth is, I remembered you winning. I just didn't want to seem too creepy. It was front, look, I know the headline on the paper. Like, I can't say it in perfect Spanish, but what is that like for you to be on the front page of your home country paper?
For sure. I think it's a tough challenge, honestly. The country is so football or soccer focused. I feel like it really needs to be something major to happen in order to show up in a in a first page newspaper, even on the sports newspapers. It was huge back then. First ATP got in as a wild card with Francisco, both Portuguese, grew up together. I mean, it was a bunch of things that made it so special. And even the president came to greet us, the president of Portugal. So insane.
Yeah.
Insane. And I only felt that much attention in something like Australian Open this year. So those were big media moments for sure, with a lot of attention from the Portuguese crowd. And it's good to get those people involved, because I feel like tennis needs more love from the Portuguese. And I think the Federation has been doing a good job in just promoting the sport, having more, you know, challengers especially. I think they gather a little more attention than just any other tournament. But obviously Estoril is the highlight. I feel like it's such a big event in Portugal. Everybody wants to come. So it's good, like, to have somebody Portuguese in the top 100 being able to play in the main draw. And now Sousa, he's going to retire with Estoril. I think that will be a great moment as well for Portuguese tennis, just to give him a highlight of what he's accomplished. And I'm hoping now it's my turn to, you know, or not just bring Portugal in higher, because what he did was also insane, but having someone on top to show the kids it's possible, we can do great things in this sport, and just, you know, keep giving love to tennis in Portugal for sure.
What's more nerve-wracking, serving for the match against Dimitrov or saying, oh, Mr. President, nice to meet you? Like, what's the more difficult thing for you?
Saying hi to the president.
I can't even imagine.
No. It wasn't so bad, because I guess it's such a quick moment.
Okay, like, fair enough.
When it's happening, like, you just give your hand and it's done. I wish it was that easy to finish up. The problem, I guess, with finishing up the matches is as you're getting closer, you start getting more and more anxious. So that was just one big anxious moment, and once it was done, it was okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad it happened. It was really cool.
No, I'm sure once you're through, it's a huge sigh of relief. Well, my last question for you, obviously, again, all this different success, and now you're on a different path. As you mentioned, the past year, it's been ATP Tour-centric, your schedule. Is that the continued plan for 2024? Yeah. What are your goals for this season, and what can fans expect as we follow all of your performances?
I've been saying my goal for this year is to play the Olympics. I would really like to play. I think it's something that I haven't played, and it would be really cool to just... I know tennis might not be the most classic Olympic sport, but to me it would be a big highlight to be able to just, you know, enter and represent Portugal once again. I think there's always a little extra motivation to play those... playing for your country, just like Davis Cup. I think it brings the best out of me, so I'd really love to play. And that's my main focus. I'd like to keep playing the best tournaments and, you know, staying at this level, even if it means dropping a little bit. Or I think this is the path where I can grow most. It's also tough matches. There's no there's really no freebies, so really got to keep working. But that also helps me improve, because it's always a challenge. There's no lacking, or you're done.
Yeah. No, I can imagine. Well, you know, certainly one thing I know we have not lacked here at Cracked Rackets is the opportunity to get a chance to speak with you, my friend. And we're always so appreciative of your time. And, no, sincerely, to watch the success you've had from the start, but in particular, obviously, these last 18 months, what a whirlwind it's been. Look, I always say if I'm going to talk behind someone's back, I should say to their face as well. A lot of texts between me and Chris about you, my friend, as you can imagine. And so, sincerely, I guess the last one, your former teammate, Trevor Fauché, is now a Michigan Wolverine. Are you feeling betrayed by that?
I got to see him at Indian Wells for a little bit before I left to Phoenix.
Yeah. Here.
He's a little skinnier, I told him. He's not looking so good.
Yeah, well, he's had 7 kids. In the past 2 years, he doesn't have time to eat.
Maybe it's the blue t-shirt. I don't know, but there was something off.
Yeah, well, you know, again, we'll take him off your hands. I think he's going to make a fine Wolverine. And
we'll be following for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, I know we will be following your success, and you're the defending champion here this week in Phoenix. Looking forward to see what you have in store for us. Nuno Borges, congratulations to you, and thank you as always, my friend.
It's good to be back, and I appreciate you and Chris and people like you, like, really make it more special for us.
Yeah, of course. Good luck this week.
Thanks.